I want to talk to you today about God loves growing things. Shall we bow our heads? Loving God, thank you so much for your blessings and your mercies and the opportunity we have to lift our thoughts to you and to receive from your throne this day a blessing. We come seeking that blessing and opening our hearts, Lord. Fill us now and open our eyes to see your goodness, your grace, and give us just a wonderful spirit of praise and thanks as we celebrate the harvest today, for Christ's sake. Amen. Two-thirds of the earth's land mass is covered with vegetation. God loves growing things. Matter of fact, that is only one part of the life, as you and I know. There are, you know, billions of people on the earth. There are, you know, countless number of animals, insects, and other forms of life that exist on our planet, forming one huge ecosystem that man has exploited and abused in many ways that is turning out now to be the detriment of the planet. We pray, God, we will begin to do some things different and better before we destroy ourselves. When we come to harvest time, we have a special focus on farming, producing food for our sustenance. And farming is absolutely, you know, when those who are city dwellers, who haven't had a chance to go out to the country and watch things grow, you're really missing something. You're really missing something. And for those of us who are older, the older we get, the greater appreciation we have for farming. And there are those of us who wish we could go out and farm. And yes. And, you know, there is a sad part of Jamaican life that we're going to say a prayer right now for. And the sad part of Jamaican life is that there are so many young people who are moving from country to town because they don't have an appreciation for farming. There's too much of a get things easy mentality in our country. Get rich quick. Don't work hard. Just sit around and it will fall in your lap. Or find some way of scheming to get something out of somebody else that they have worked hard for. Too much of that is in our society. As a church, let us pray and ask God for revival among especially our young people, an appreciation for the dignity of labor, and especially for the art of farming. Because indeed, we as a people need to produce more to feed ourselves. It's a part of balancing our economy. There are countries in the world today who are in serious, serious trouble because they do not produce and export. They don't produce enough to support their own consumption. In the big meltdown, economic meltdown the other day, you remember the problem that Greece was in because of this. So we are heading down that road, and we have to turn it around. It's wonderful to do charity work, and the Good Samaritan is doing a fantastic job to help people. And there will be always people who fall by the wayside through no fault of their own, and sometimes by their own foolishness, that we have to help. But for me, the greater help for the society is to engender in our young people a spirit that just gets them excited about producing for the good of the nation. We also have to pray that God will help those who are predators on the farmers, because a major challenge to our farming in Jamaica today. I know I have several friends who have invested in farming and have become discouraged because of the level of theft in that industry. Let's bow our heads. Loving God, today we have come to celebrate and to give you thanks for the produce of the land, for the farming process, and for those who work hard, and for your work in giving the increase that we now each day eat to keep ourselves alive and to bless others. We ask your blessing on the farmers of this country and the farmers of our world. But especially in our homeland, Jamaica, Lord, we ask that you'd help that young men, young women, will get a better appreciation for growing things, for working with you to produce that which sustains life. And we ask, God, that you'd be with those who are farming now, that you would protect their crops, that, Lord, you would just, in your mercy and grace, Lord, turn the hearts of those who are predators on them, that they will find something more productive to do with their lives, and that for those who insist on following that path, the government will come up with a methodology for catching them and putting them away. Oh, Holy Father, bless our land. Bless our people. And help, Lord, that indeed we will produce that which will bring you glory and feed everyone well, that we may be nourished to glorify you, we ask, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. After the flood, God made a promise to Abram and to all of us. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Springtime and harvest. What a God. What a consistent God in so very many ways. What does it take for plants to grow? Sunshine, soil. Water. There's something fascinating about the growing process and about plants growing that is so wonderful and has some powerful implications for how we live our lives. There are three essential nutrients that have to be in the soil for plants to grow: phosphorus, potassium, and nitrates from nitrogen. Nitrogen is in the air. We breathe it in and out, but we take none of it because it has two molecules that are so tightly bonded together that it takes a lot of energy to separate them so they can bond with oxygen and become nitrates. So it's not usable for us in the air. But then comes a thunderstorm, and the lightning flashes and produces the energy that separates the two atoms. And water, it comes down in the rain into the soil. We have nitrates. It's taken up by the plants, and we have it in our bodies. Isn't God great? After one hurricane, I drove to Mandeville, and I saw all the trees were brown. It's just a couple of days after. But the ravages of the wind had so shaken the trees that some of them were without leaves, and some of those that had leaves, the leaves were brown. A couple weeks after, I went up there, and everything was green. Greener than it was before. I said, wow, what a God. Isn't he awesome? So often we focus on the hardships of life, and we don't take time to really take a look and see how God works through the hardships to produce some good. Farming is hard work. Let me say it again. Farming is hard work. But it is a powerfully rewarding task. Because when you see things grow, oh, it is so awesome. And I just kind of think of God sitting and looking at our world and seeing the things grow. This morning we had baby dedication. Just think of yourself. Every now and then I think back to my elementary school days and my infant school days. I can't remember anything beyond that. And I think of how my life has moved through all of those times to where I am today. Isn't God great? The troubles he kept me out of, the dangers he protected me from. Oh, what a good God. You know, there are some people who think that would like to have grown some more, you know. Around here is bald. I don't grow here very well, and I would love to have grown some more here or there. My friends are showing off with sideburns. My face was clean. But not all of us grow in the same way. But all of us experience growth. But there's a way in which all of us can grow. Although, again, not necessarily in the same way. And Jesus introduces this by a parable. The parable we heard in our scripture reading. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That although as a seed it is very small, when you plant it, it what? It grows into the largest of herbs in the garden, large enough that birds can perch in it. And then he says, it's like yeast. And the three measures of dough that it's talked about there is estimated to be about 60 pounds. And he says, they put a little bit of yeast into this dough, and it what? It permeates throughout the entire 60 pounds. It grows. But remember what he's talking about. He's talking about the kingdom of God. Along with the vegetation and the people and all the things that are growing in the world, there are systems and organizations that are growing with it. We create things. We build buildings. We form organizations. We form relationships and they grow. And there's a lot of growth going on in our world apart from the physical realm. Well, Jesus is here saying there is a spiritual side to our existence. And in this spiritual side, there is good and evil. And he wants for his kingdom to grow. And he is intent on the growing of his kingdom. And nothing will stand in his way. And it is so powerful that it is like you put a little seed and you water it, and a few weeks after you see something coming up, and a few months after, and I think the second parable that he talks about, the yeast, is that you don't see yeast working as obviously as you see the tree growing. But you do see some action because you see the dough getting bigger and bigger. Now, there's something wonderful about the kingdom of God. And I liken it to pregnancy. Pregnancy, for a woman who has gotten pregnant in a loving relationship, is an absolutely beautiful thing. Why? Long after the act that produces the pregnancy is simply a memory, She is walking around with the produce of their love inside of her. And for 9 months, well, probably eight of it, she's conscious that it is there. She has the joy, with all the discomforts that may come with it, of knowing that inside of her is life that is a shared thing between her husband, herself, and her God. It's beautiful. Well, my friends, Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you are to enter the kingdom of God, you must be what? Born again. New life must enter your being. And being a Christian is like being pregnant. It's having Jesus inside of us. Growing. The kingdom of God within you. Growing and growing and taking over more and more of your life, making it more and more beautiful every day. But like all growing things, spiritual life has to be nurtured. The wise man writes in Proverbs 24 and verse 30, I passed by the vineyard of the sluggard, the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want as an armed man. The growth of spiritual life is not something we must take for granted. Growing spiritual life is like growing anything else. It has to be nurtured. We must give time and energy to it. Because if we do not, it will die. Other things will come in and take over. There are those who we call them nominal Christians. And some people like to look at other people and call them nominal Christians, but indeed they too are nominal Christians. Okay. A nominal Christian is a person who's a Christian by name only. One time in their lives, they felt the call of God and they said, Lord, yes, I want you in my life. And for a few brief moments, they walked in the joy of salvation. And they felt that that was enough. And they go about life living for themselves and where else. They may go to church, but they remain basically in spirit as they were before. Such individuals do not have the joy of life, the sweetness of walking with Jesus, the wonders of the person, just like the pregnant woman, of feeling life within that lifts one above all the vicissitudes of life and gives a perspective. You know, every now and then, life throws me a curve. And it hits me so hard that I feel down, like everybody else. And we get into this place where it's poor me. Why me? Why are people treating me like this? And then I get on my knees and I look at the Word of God and my spirit is revived. And the life of God becomes my life. And I look back and say, what on creation were you doing back there? But that's life, isn't it? It's life. we are not always at the top of our game. And life does throw us curves that make life difficult and hard. But if there is life growing within us, it must rise to the surface and lift us to a better place. A place where you have a mountaintop view of the world. Ever been to a mountaintop? In my teen days, there was a hill, kind of a mountain above where I lived. And when I wanted to have devotion, I would walk up there. And I could look at the lights of Montego Bay, the hills around St. James. And it was beautiful to see all the lights come on, and if it was night or, you know, things happening during the day. And from this place, especially at night, I could see the stars. But the sweetness of being there was a spiritual connection. Like, there are times in that place where I had a view of my world. Like God was so close, I could just reach out and touch Him. It was beautiful. It is always great to walk with God. If this world for you does not offer a growing experience in your spiritual life, you're missing out on a lot. And remember this. Spiritual life is not something that is hard to acquire. Because Jesus says, it is like a mustard seed or yeast. It is something that God wants to grow in you and in me. It's not something we have to go, oh God, you know, my spiritual life is so poor and it's so bad and I feel like I've been so far from you and I want you to come close. God said, the problem is not me, the problem is you. I've been here all along. What happened? I want to be close to you. Just open your heart. Let me in. And I'll take care of things. So over in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the gifts. We're talking about harvest and God being the great grower. God being the one who loves growing things, and He wants to grow some things in your life and in my life. And He wants to grow some fruits. And I'm going to kind of turn it around. Verse 22 says, I'm going to read the good part and I'll read the bad part after, and I come back to the good part. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. In Galatians chapter 5, here in verse 16, Jesus sets up the difference between the flesh and the spirit. What is our normal way of doing things, the flesh, and what he wants to infuse in us to make grow and produce the spirit, his Holy Spirit, his very presence, his very life. And he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law, nor the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like that, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now we come to the fruits again. And it's interesting that he did not say the fruits of the Spirit. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, one does not come without the others. Love is the key. But all the others follow in its train. It's one package. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. When we look at these things, they are the things that all of us want in our lives. Isn't that true? All of us want these things in our lives. Do they come natural? Not unless you are led by the Spirit of God. It takes the presence of the Spirit in the life. And Paul sets it up here to say to us, to have the Spirit dominant in our lives is not an easy road. The flesh and the Spirit are opposed to each other. There's a conflict. Your mind is going to say, I want this, and the Spirit is going to say, no, that. And we have to make choices. And so we go back to Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, what we read earlier, it says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, a lazy man. And his vineyard was covered with nettles, with bush, with vines that run wild. It was not producing fruits. Why? Because he was too lazy to tend it. If we do not tend our spiritual life, other things will just naturally take over. The things that Paul writes about here, because it's natural to us. What happens in the field of the sluggard is what happens in our world. We have seen it over and over. A farmer tills a field and he eradicates the weeds and he plants his stuff. And after he has reaped it, and he has to go through while it is growing to pull the weeds out and stuff like that, make sure the plants have the richness of the substance of the soil and start stolen away by other plants. And after he reaps it, what does he have to do with it? He just plants it one time and say, okay, I set this field up, let me go to another field, and that's going to keep producing for me year after year. Is that how it works? No. The next year he has to go and plow it again. Get the weeds out and set it up so that... I like farming in South St. Elizabeth. Have you been to South St. Elizabeth to see farming down there? It's fantastic the way they do it. I love it. They plow the field and they gather grass. It's kind of a dry place and they want to keep the moisture in the land. So they get grass and they spread it all over the field. And then they separate the spots in the grass and they plant the watermelon and the scallion and the stuff down there. And you look at this field and you see the brown of the grass at the bottom and the green just coming up out of it. It's absolutely beautiful to see. But it takes work to plow that field and lay that grass out. And some of those farmers have to go and carry water in buckets and pour at each root to keep it alive. It takes work. And each year, the process has to be repeated because the grass decomposes after a while, disintegrates, and does not serve that purpose anymore. So they have to get new grass and lay it out in the field. It's hard work, but it's so beautiful. And those scallions, oh my goodness, when they season the food, you can, and the onions, and you ever got a nice juicy watermelon from South Saint Elizabeth? Oh, that stuff is good. Yes, and similarly, when we nurture our spiritual life by reading the Word, by taking time to talk to God, nurturing our spiritual life, being a blessing to others, sharing God's love that He has given to us. Look here, young man. Tell the women in your life about the love of Jesus. You can't tell them this minute about the love of Jesus and ask them for sex the next minute. Are you with me? Young ladies, tell the young men in your life about the love of Jesus. Grow spirituality. Because if you don't, the natural inclinations of the flesh will take over. And our society has become so promiscuous that anything and everything goes. It is only the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives that keeps us from being washed away with a wave of immorality that is flooding our world today. This place with God, I take my stand. I take my stand against the wave of greed and selfishness and immorality that is just raging across our world. Stand with me, young people. Stand for the things that are spiritual and good. Because when the Spirit is in you, you can look at life and be thankful to God for the many troubles He took you out of. Because here's how the devil works. All the fruits that he produces, the freedom to be angry and don't care what people think about what you say, the freedom to indulge in whatever pleasure you want, those fruits turn bitter after a while. And when you look back at your life and you see the misery you have created for yourself, some people go into denial and behave as though it's everybody else caused it on me. And self-pity take over. But those who are honest realize that I have made a mess of my life. Young people, don't make a mess of your life. And those of us who are older, let us be wise enough to walk in the things of the Spirit. Jesus wants to produce in each one of us, as the farmers have produced these beautiful things for us to eat and to behold and to enjoy. He wants to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And let me tell you something, those who have not tasted of it yet, when you taste of the fruits of the Spirit, it's sweet. It's wonderful to have the love of Jesus in your heart, to have joy, to have peace, to go to your bed and think about the goodness of God and the wonders He did in your life today, and to know that He's going to be with you for the night and wake you up in the morning and give you something wonderful to do to bless humanity the next day. That no matter what trials and difficulties will come your way, you are the master of it, because the master of everything is living within you. It's a wonderful thing. What are you growing? Just take a look in your life and ask yourself, what am I growing? Am I growing anger and enmity, promiscuity and selfishness, greed and lust? Or am I growing love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, self-control? Am I growing these things? If you are, then you're on a good path. If you are not, it's not too late. because Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And he says, just as before you stands the fruit of the land, I am ready to create in you the fruits of the Spirit. Open your hearts. Let Jesus in.